as always, if you have questions for the coaches here, Coach Signetti here this morning, just hit star one on your keypad. We welcome into the call the head coach of the JMU Dukes, Coach Signetti. Good morning, Coach Signetti.
Good morning, Rob.
Congratulations on your team's impressive 66-21 win on Saturday against a very good Monmouth team. Game got off to a little slower start than I'm sure that you hoped for, but your team responded awful well. Just give me your impressions on your team's performance on Saturday.
Yeah, like you said about the start, ran on the opening kickoff, forced a fumble, but didn't get the fumble, so, the stadium was rocking. And then on the first play, they spit a run out for a 93-yard touchdown, and, we come right back and score. They return a kickoff for a touchdown. So it was first play of the second half. They hit a pass for a touchdown. It was 21-21. But we outscored them after that, 45-0, and really took control, of the game. I felt physically we took control early. I could see it on the sideline. We never punted on offense. Scored 38 points in the first half. We blocked a punt, blocked a field goal, and, did a lot of good things defensively, really, aside from the long run, which was a 93, we held them to 93 yards rushing. So they had 0 net yards after that and did a good job on third down, 9-13, but went for it twice on fourth and made it. So really we're 11-13. Ran for 330 yards, and Ben had a great day and spread the ball around. Backs ran well. We really dominated them up front, our defensive line. And so it was a good win, and we were able to empty the bench and get a lot of kids on the field.
Yeah, a couple of questions in queue if you'll get those for us, Tabitha.
And your first question comes from the line of Greg Madeo with Daily News Record.
Hey, Kurt. Just as far as preparation on a shorter week goes, what's kind of the plan? What are the challenges with the Friday turnaround?
Yeah, well, we're not going to make a lot of adjustments, to be honest with you. Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday are going to be the same days. Thursday is going to be very similar to what it normally is. We may shorten practice just a little bit. And, Friday, because it's a night game, we'll build some meetings in the afternoon. We kind of lose the Friday walkthrough, on the field, which is a 15-minute walkthrough, and maybe a little bit of meeting time, but we're going to try to kind of stay on schedule. I may shorten the time, the Thursday practice some, but, I want our guys to be fresh and ready to go.
Yeah. Is there any challenges with an unfamiliar opponent when it comes to that kind of preparation from the coaching point of view?
It may be a little bit, because they do seem to change quite a bit week to week, both on offense and defense. We watched the first three games working backwards, of their defense and, their four-down defense, and thought we had a beat on what was going on. Then all of a sudden you put the next game on and they're three-down, and they're almost exclusively three-down from that point on, mixing in a little four-down. So there's a little bit of an unknown in terms of what you're going to see. But that's football. That happens at other times during the week. And so, we'll be ready.
Thank you.
And your next question is from the line of Wayne Epps with Richmond Times-Dispatch.
Hey, Coach, after a performance like Saturday, do you feel like the team is playing the best offensively that it has all year? Of course, 66 points. Then you look at the previous game score, 55. Do you feel like you're kind of clicking the best offensively you have all year? And if so, what factors go into that kind of play, late in the season like this?
Yeah, well, it's hard to make an argument against our production offensively Saturday. But, I think we're going to face a completely different kind of challenge this week from Northern Iowa, who, in the Missouri Valley Conference, it's a tough conference. They're one of the top defenses in the conference and in the country. They're number one against the run, and, they don't give up many points. I mean, they opened the season against Iowa State, and it was a 13-10 game at the end of the game, and Iowa State kicked a field goal late to send it to overtime and went to three overtimes, and, South Dakota State had the lead, and Iowa State fumbles on the 2-yard line, and all they got to do is fall on the ball. They win the game, and Iowa State was fortunate to get it back and score on the next play and won. But You know, they haven't given up many points, and this is going to be one of the better defenses this we've seen this year without question, so it'll be a challenge.
One piece of that defense, Smith, the defensive end, what jumps out the most by him? Of course, he's up to 14 sacks now this year. Just, what do you see of him on tape so far this year?
Yeah, well, you know, when you get that many sacks, that means you're a quick twitch guy, and you know he's a little bit like John Daka in that regard. You know, he's a real long guy. He's about 6'5", 230 pounds, and he's got really good get off. He's got a number of tackles for loss. Their whole front is very impressive, to be honest with you. And you know, the linebackers are big. They're bigger than what we usually see. You know, they're like 240, 230. And secondary is extremely athletic. You know, there's four guys back there that were first, second, or honorable mention all conference. And, you know, they've got 32 takeaways on defense. That's a lot. And, you know, they're plus 15 on the turnover ratio, which I think we are too. So, you know, protecting the ball is going to be huge in this game. They have 40 sacks on defense. So, you know, he is one of the better players or receives the most accolades, but they got a lot of good players on defense.
All right. Thank you.
And your next question is from the line of Kyle Kinsing with Slow Sport.
I coached with Brandon Polk this week, going over 1,000 yards for the season. I think he's only the second player in program history in the first in 26 years. What has made him such an integral part of the offense for you guys this season?
Well, you know, he's really fast, and he's got great long speed, so that's given us something that we needed. And he's caught the ball very consistently, but he can also take a short pass and turn it into a long game. And, you know, in football, speed kills, especially on the perimeter. And, you know, if you can run by a guy in one-on-one coverage, then you know, that just forces, that really puts a lot of stress on the defense in terms of what they've got to do adjustment-wise, and then it opens up things in the run game. So, you know, he's been an extremely valuable player for us and made a number of big plays, and he's a big part of our success offensively up to this point.
And then on the defensive side, you know, after the initial run that they had on their first possession, from that point forward, what do you feel like the defense was able to do to kind of shut them down so effectively the rest of the way?
Well, you know, on the first play, we just sort of fit the run the wrong way, and the guy broke into the secondary, and, you know, he's a real fast guy. He's a 10-600-meter guy in high school. And but we just whipped them up front. I mean, our front four really took it to their offensive line. And, you know, so there weren't many creases there in the run game, and we put pretty good pressure on quarterback, covered fairly well. And so, you know, it was really just our physicality. You know, they had played, I think, 10 straight games, and, you know, they got a little bit worn down, and you could see it going on and happening on the field, and, you know, it became a dominant performance.
Thank you.
We got a couple more questions if you'll get those, Tabitha.
Your next question is from the line of Dave Thomas with ESPN Radio.
Good morning, Coach. You were talking about how speed kills. How can you assess the speed of Northern Iowa from what you've seen on film? I know that's kind of a hard thing to do, but understanding the conference they play in, how is their team speed in pursuing the football?
You know what? I think they got really good team speed on defense. The secondary runs extremely well. And, you know, the linebackers, even though they're bigger, they run well. And the front guys, you know, particularly 16, have really good speed. You know, offensively, they've got a wide receiver, 6'4". You know, it's got over 1,000 yards receiving, 10 touchdowns. And, you know, he's a big, fast guy. And, you know, but offensively, really, when you look at him, what you see is size. I mean, the offensive line is, you know, I think 6'6", 317 on average. And then, you know, they got big tight ends, and they'll put linemen out there at tight ends. And, you know, the quarterback really runs well and throws the ball well also. You know, they probably get a little bit more press because of on their defensive side. But the offense has done a nice job of protecting the ball and, you know, making the plays when they needed to.
And you had to rely on your depth a little bit. Garrett Krull, obviously, in the first half, he made some big plays. Of course, MJ's been a contributor all year. Guys like that. But talk about what you saw out of your depth in a playoff setting like this past Saturday.
Yeah, well, you know, you never have enough depth. And Garrett Krull, you know, made some key plays on defense. He also blocked a field goal. You know, John Dacca got in on the block game. We stuck him in on punt block, and he blocked the punt. And MJ, you know, has been alternating with Amos all year long, played extremely well. So, you know, the more people you can play, you know, it's always good. And it's next man up mentality. You know, a guy goes down, he's got to go and do the job.
Thanks, Coach.
And your next question is from the line of Edward Lee with Baltimore Sun.
Kurt, I was wondering if you could just talk about Rondale Carter. Is there anything he does now that still surprises you?
At this point, not really. I mean, Rondale, you know, he's a total package. He's got a great work ethic. You know, he's big. You know, he's about 265, 270 pounds. But yet, you know, he's got really good speed, quickness, and power. And I thought, you know, he really turned it up. You could see it on tape in this game. And, you know, he's received a lot of accolades, won a lot of awards, you know, because of his production, what he's put on tape and what he's done on the field. And, you know, he's truly an exceptional player for us. And, you know, to have guys like Rondale Carter and John Dacca, and, you know, then you start talking about the front, Mike Green. You know, when you got guys like that playing at the level they're playing at, you know, then you have a chance, you know, to really be good.
Yeah, obviously, you have a couple more games left. The season's not over yet. But if you could take a step back and look sort of the big picture, what do you think Rondell's legacy or his impact on the program has been?
Well, I hope we have a couple games left. I mean, you know, this is going to be a big one this week. But, you know, Rondale, he's a great leader. On the field and off the field, in the locker room. You know, he's really got charisma and personality. You know, when he talks, people listen. And, you know, so, you know, his value on this team goes way beyond what he does on the football field. And, you know, he deserves really all the recognition that he receives.
And my last question is, do you think that he has a path to the NFL?
Oh yeah, he's got. I mean, he's definitely gonna. He's getting a lot of looks, and you know, I think he's got a chance to really have a future there. But that's down the road, and you know, I know it's not his focus right now. But yeah, I mean, I think he's a legitimate guy.
Thank you.
Kurt, we've talked often about the kind of year that Ben DiNucci has had, and Saturday, just an unbelievable performance, 21-25, two touchdowns throwing, runs for a couple of more touchdowns. After last year's playoff game, and I know he addressed it a little in the post game about being tired of talking about what happened last year, especially in the playoffs. How big of a putting that behind him once and for all with his performance on Saturday, how big do you think that was for him?
Well, I mean, I think you guys make more of that, really, to be honest with you. I mean, he's been playing at that level pretty much all year long, and I thought our whole team was really extremely focused going into this game. And, you know, in my mind, he just sort of did what he's been doing lately. And, you know, I don't feel like he went into the game thinking there was a monkey on his back or anything like that. You know, I just think he went out there and played like he's been playing. And, you know, we treat all these games like it's just the next game, because that's all it is. It's the next game. It's football. You know, if there was a magical way to prepare, you know, for a playoff game that's better than a regular season game, then we'd do that in a regular season too. So, you know, we wanted the kids to go out there, fly around, and still have fun. And I think Ben did that. You know, like you said, you know, he only threw four incompletions, and you know, he had a couple touchdown runs, and, you know, he's a confident guy, and, you know, we've surrounded him with good players, and, you know, we don't ask him to do too much in terms of carrying the team. You know, we want to establish the run, and so that he's got good passing opportunities, but, you know, he's made critical, valuable plays, you know, throughout the season.
before I let you go, you've touched on how good that UNI defense is, and obviously that will be a big part of the game. But just give us a few keys for your team to have success on Friday night, some things you're focused on.
Well, first of all, you know, the weather conditions are a little bit iffy. Right now it could be a sloppy Friday night, so, you know, holding on to the football is going to be really important. But you've always got to be able to run the ball, establish the run, and, you know, it's really going to be a battle because they don't give up many yards, and we've been running the ball pretty well. But you still have to have balance and be able to throw it and be able to convert to third downs and stuff like that. So, you know, and then on the other side of the ball, you know, defensively, you know, got to stop the run and pressure the quarterback, get him off the field, and then teams need to be a big win. And so the games really never change, but, you know, I think that the challenge that their defense presents will be huge.
All right, Kurt, thanks so much for taking time with us today. Good luck on Friday night against Northern Iowa, and hopefully we talk again next Monday.
Thank you.